So the title of the talk is What's Beyond Control? And I want to just start with three small stories, but kind of dramatic ones. The first, touching me personally, my mother had Alzheimer for many years, 11 years. And I used to travel all the time to England from here to be with her. The first 4 years were so difficult. She was fighting all the time. Where's my home? Where am I? Where do I belong? She was angry and lost. And one day, everything changed, and it was amazing. And she became really happy. In a way, she forgot that she didn't know where she was. She forgot that as well. And she had 7 years of quite good life, like a child. But that critical place of ending resistance, another story. Someone that's been in the Dharma for now some years, and you may know him, he had a motorbike accident and was in a wheelchair, and he was paralyzed, she took completely. And for 2 years, it was a nightmare. He wanted to die. A young, healthy guy had a motorbike accident, and that was it, in a wheelchair. And one day, he said, I cannot anymore. I surrender. And from then, his life began fresh. And now he is fully in a Dharma journey with so much inspiration and okayness, and he's teaching other people, and he's an inspiring person in his wheelchair. Third small story, personal story. Many, many years ago, I was in India, one of my crazy trips to India, spending weeks in a cave in Arunachala, Tiruvannamalai in India, and I was up in the cave every day from morning to night in the dark. Ten days, total disaster, total failure, nothing happening. I was giving myself a hard time. What am I doing here? The whole spiritual journey is just a joke. Is a fake, and I'm a fake, and this is bullshit. What's this all about? What am I doing sitting here like an idiot in the dark cave? And then after 10 days, I just dropped the whole story and surrendered. And I said to everything, take me. I am nothing. I want nothing. I am nowhere. Take me. And of course, everything happened then. And again, a powerful lesson that I needed to go through those 10 days. And I didn't realize that they were part of the journey. That sense of resistance and then dropping the resistance was needed. The resistance coming from me. And in all those three stories, it's coming from the pressure to control. Things should be a certain way, whether it's resisting, Alzheimer resisting, spiritual, whatever. And we really build our life around the issue of control. And it's so deep in us that we almost don't notice it, that we are building our life and our daily life, and our mind is constantly checking what it needs, what is right, what I have to do, what's better, what's not good, where do I go now? In the world of brain science, that's one of the definitions of consciousness, which is predictive processing. In other words, processing information to know what needs to happen next so as I will survive. It's processing and predicting. What next? What do I have to do? And the Buddha said something exactly like that. The Buddha said, always frightened is this mind about problems that are arising or problems that are not here now but might arise. Always frightened is this mind, said the Buddha. And so we're really, in a way, we miss what is because we're so busy thinking that things should be another way. Things should be other than what they are. And it uses up all our day. Just on the way to the retreat, in my car, suddenly appeared a song by Bob Dylan on the radio. And there's such a beautiful line there, which is just about this. How does it feel? How does it feel to be on your own with no direction home? A complete unknown, like a rolling stone. It's a beautiful line in Dylan's genius poetry. It's what we're all afraid of. To be a rolling, like a rolling stone. To be an unknown. To be with no direction home. We have a deep, deep fear of that. And it's really hard to imagine something else. It's hard to imagine, well, how do I meditate? How do I do this retreat if I have no concept of success or failure? I need to know what success is in order to practice meditation. I need to have an idea of results. I need to have an idea of progress. I need to have, so we can't imagine it as something else. So the first thing, that fundamental teaching of the Dharma, it's like teaching we don't always really want to know, but it is so basic. It is to deeply meet our vulnerability, hapagiyuchelanu, instead of trying to fix the world, to minimize our vulnerability, our basic hashavriruchelanu. The Dharma says, no, allow the real deep seeing of our vulnerability, our basic fragility. And huge benefit from that, which I will explain. There's a Theravada image that life is like a seed balanced on the point of a needle. It's like, whoa. We can begin to let the truth of things guide us. And that's a fundamental truth of things, is our vulnerability. And if we, the Buddha said, the truth frees us, not the pressure to be free, but the truth itself frees us. And this is a truth, a deep truth, our vulnerability that frees us. if we look clearly at how little control we really have, it's a wake-up call. None of us can design, letachnen, a moment of our life, our experience. We cannot design our experience. We cannot design our zerem ha-toda'ah, our stream of consciousness. We cannot design it. We think we're in charge. We're not in charge. The mind does, our own thoughts are not really our thoughts. They appear because they want to appear. Then this thought arises because of all the conditions that make this moment happen. All the conditions, the millions of conditions, the whole world is needed for this moment right now to happen like it is. Millions of conditions. You can never get the end of it. Every moment is constructed by all the conditions that make that moment happen. Needs the whole world, actually. So, control is an illusion. We can't design our life. And it's scary. One of the most scary quotations of the Buddha. I'll throw it. He said, life in any world, in all worlds, has no protector and has no shelter. Life in all worlds has nothing of its own, which is quite a dramatic sentence. In other words, it's based on nothing. It has nothing of its own that you could say, this is it. I have a ground. It is groundless. Life in all worlds is incomplete, is not satisfying. Because we have a pressure to survive. It's not satisfying. So all the time wanting to something. Hisardut, survival. Life in all worlds has to be left. We have to leave it. So it's a scary quote. All of that teaches us a way forward. And the way forward is in the language of Tara Brach, radical acceptance. Radical acceptance is to welcome and allow this moment as a gift. To welcome this moment as a gift of life. To allow things to be what they are. To give permission for things to arise as our experience. All of that is not controlling anything. Allowing, giving permission for things to appear. Radical acceptance means deep acceptance that things are the way they are. Things happen the way they happen because of all the conditions totally beyond us. So it's not easy, but it's really basic and important to somehow undo this illusion of control, the pressure, which is based on illusion, because we're not in control. And therefore it creates so much suffering and struggle and unhappiness and frustration and helplessness and feeling like a victim and feeling like, you know, endless because of this friction, chikuch, between us and an uncontrollable life. My daughter is a practitioner of ACT, acceptance and commitment therapy, and I've been working with her a bit and meeting quite a lot of therapists, and it's really a beautiful therapy based just on radical acceptance. It's a beautiful therapy. So it's a shift in our attitude instead of resistance. Instead of the pressure to control, it's a place of being ready to meet the unknown, the uncertain, the unpredictable, the uncontrollable life as it is. Meeting things as they are. And the practice we're doing here, you could put it in a sort of summary as being a kind of a fair witness, ed hogen, you can say, a fair witness, a witness that allows, not a judgmental. We're learning, basic to Vipassana is to reduce the sense of judgmental. This good for me, this not so good for me. This one I prefer, this I don't prefer. This is better, this is worse. I'm like this, I'm not like that. I didn't get there. The teachers say do this and I didn't manage. So I'm a failure, or I'm not a failure. All of the stuff, the judgmental mind, it's based on control. And instead of that, being a fair witness, ed hogen. Yes, it is as it is. I let go. I allow things to be the way they are. Very, very basic. But it needs mind and heart together. It's not technical. Allowing, if sure, is mind and heart together. It's an act of the heart. Welcome. Welcome this moment. It is as it is. Even if it looks a problem, unpleasant, I welcome this moment. The benefit of it, the power of it, it brings a deep freedom, because we use a huge amount of energy and a huge amount of busyness and a huge amount of censorship and filtering and all of that in the pressure to control things. We use so much of our life and our energy. And if we step back from that place into a place of allowing the gift of this moment, a lot of energy is released, is freed up, and we begin to have so much more space in our life that otherwise we keep putting into control. We become free beings, freer beings, welcoming the experience of this moment. And it's a shift in attitude, very deep, but very freeing. A free being welcoming what arises, even if it's unpleasant. And it will be. It will be pleasant and it will be unpleasant. We can't control. We are not in control. There'll be pleasant and there'll be unpleasant, but a free being welcoming what arises. And we can, it helps us also to begin to, if we have that attitude, it's an attitude, we actually can begin to unlock places that we want to work with in us that are deeper, the unconscious places, the subconscious places, the voices that we can't get to, the voices that seem underneath somewhere that give us problems, the tavniot, the psychological patterns that feel they're stuck somewhere deep down and I can't get to them. One place of letting them appear is an attitude of allowing, of welcoming, because we have less sense of selection. This yes, this no, this yes, this. So stuff gets buried under because we're all the time busy sort of what's easier, what's nicer, what's, you know, this sense of welcoming it all. And the sense of allowing our vulnerability is also giving permission for things that are not on the surface, that are not clear, to arise up. And it allows everything to talk to us. It allows things to talk to we this welcoming are the voices that we actually want to hear from the world, from us. So I want to just because of a bit of fun, I want to quote from my new book, Even Bina. But it's really because the whole book is about building with stones, which is a personal story from me. But here the stones are talking to the builder. So it's just a sort of a little bit of a personal story of allowing the voices of the stones. The stones welcomed each other as partners in life, nestling so close to each other as if they were kissing each other in their dreams. And they included me. You are not so far from us, the stones would say. You are one of us walking around. You are made of carbon, oxygen, calcium, mass, weight, hardness, just like us. Let us show you your physicality, they would say. And if your physicality is conscious, why not ours too? Just a bit. We have being like you. Come and join us. Rocks were my strict teachers. Why do you move around so much? What are you flapping your arms for all the time? Be still. Do you not know how to do that? Be timeless. Only disturbing thoughts tell you that time exists. We will tell you it does not. What would you feel if you've been sitting in the same place for 100,000 years? Or just a moment? Be a rock, be an island, be a mountain. They were changing my personality bit by bit. I felt every day just a bit more steady, less wobbly, more like an island. And this gave me the confidence to fly to places that would have been too scary before. Above all, the greatest gift were those periods of grace as I built, in which awareness met each lived moment as complete as passing. Standing facing the old grey stone, mind is open, thoughts have flown. Suddenly sensing the vast unknown, where stone and I are not alone. This sense of non-control is we become in touch with a place that's quite primal, od atik. It's very basic in us. And we live in that place. And we, without covering it with our needs and our need to control, this primal place begins to talk more and more. And this is perhaps a bit the story of the rocks. We begin to see that whatever arises, because it's come from all the conditions, whatever arises is needed, is right. It has to be there. It's a shift totally, for example, in our thoughts. We have a thought. Can we look at a thought and say, you're needed? You came because of the conditions that brought you. I will not try and fix you, change you for another thought, a better one. This is what the world brought you. Welcome. You may have heard this story before, a very short story before, because I've said it before and it's many years ago, but it still touches me till today. One of the shortest one-to-one meetings in a retreat I ever had in my life. It lasted about 30 seconds. A young guy, maybe it's one of you here, I don't know where he is now, maybe you're here. A young guy came to me. He didn't even sit down. He stood there and he said, all my life I have been sure that I needed fixing, everything is wrong. All of a sudden, I realized there is nothing that needs to be fixed. He cried, I cried, he left. The whole thing was 30 seconds. There's nothing that needs to be fixed. So it's important to understand that when the voices of control become weaker, then other voices open up and inner space opens up, and an inner space with less agenda. And it really, then things become very powerful. This breath is good enough. It's powerful experience. This body, the ants walking across the path, a cloud across the sky, the sound of a bird in the tree. They get powerful because we're not filtering according to any agenda and the way things ought to be. And our heart begins to open up. This allowing, the if sure, this sense of welcoming, allowing, opens the heart. We have more listening, we have more empathy. And it's even if it's a difficult experience. So in the practice, especially during today and tomorrow, we're working with our awareness and what arises in our experience. A beautiful couple of words in one of the suttas says, our consciousness is empty and bright, bright shining, but empty. All experiences arrive to this consciousness as visitors. And it's a nice way of looking at our experience. Our experiences arrive as visitors. We need to welcome them. They knock at the door. We may not like them very much. We may like them very much or not like them very much. But this sense of non-judgment, of allowing, of welcoming, I welcome all of you. Yes. Come on in. Come on in. And as I said, if we are having attitude of welcoming experience, allowing it, giving it space, deep radical acceptance of what arises, then visitors that we normally wouldn't see even, they come. I said before, the deeper voices, they arise because we give space, we give permission. They arise, and as we see them, we welcome them when they come in, and we say goodbye when they go, and they do go. And it's very important to see that when we allow things to arise, we also allow them to go. And that's the practice that we're practicing here. There is a beautiful description of this in the Mahamudra tradition that Lama Tilman was just here teaching. It's the language of self-liberation, that everything that arises has to go. It can't stay. There's no way it can get stuck. We think it's stuck, but it actually, you look at it carefully, nothing is stuck. And it liberates itself. All we need to do is let it come and let it poof, liberate itself, and leaving us more free. This sense of allowing, of welcoming, of giving permission, of less control, of less selection, of less judgment, it goes very deep. It creates in us compassion, the sense also of vulnerability, allowing us our vulnerability helps us to see things less personally, and it will go straight to compassion. We and all other beings are equally, like the Buddha said, have no protector, have no basis to life, that life is just appearing. We have to leave it, and we're the same as all beings. And that's the fundamental source of compassion. We are together with every ant, with every human being, with every bird in this life. Same life. So it leads us to a less personal place. And in a very deep place of awakening, the Zen phrase of enlightenment is easy for someone with no preferences. Bili adifuyot. It's exactly that place of no control. Enlightenment is easy if you're not busy with sorting out, I need this, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. Yes, no, yes. Deep practice of the Tibetan Vipassana of Dzogchen and Mahamudra is all about non-preference, non-interference, just allowing things to arise as they are, and goes very deep into that place. And it shifts us to another awareness, which is less sure, less tight, less controlling, and more mysterious. As Kierkegaard once said, life is not a problem to be solved, but a mystery to be lived. So I can feel that, you know, an obvious response that we might have to that is, well, I need the control. How am I going to get anywhere? Even in this retreat, how am I going to succeed if I don't have an idea how to, you know, if something's working, succeeding, not succeeding? I need some sense of direction, compass of, it's true. So, indeed, we certainly need, and it's part of our life, to have some basic intentions, for sure. Without an intention, we wouldn't come here. Without an intention, the Buddha wouldn't have got his lunch. Intentions are fine. Okay, I'm going here. Okay, time to give a talk. So Stephen is sitting here. Needs a small intention. It's part of the biology of. But that's it. Because there's a huge world beyond intentions, which is pressure. Pressure for results. And we need to understand that there's other ways of succeeding in life and of doing things right instead of that pressure to control and to succeed and to get results and measurement and judgment. There are other ways. And what tends to happen, firstly, if we let go of the pressure to control things and to see, you know, predict what I need to do, what better, what less, we pay more attention to how we are in the moment. And from there, our actions will have fruit. So we pay more attention to the quality of our actions in the moment. Again, it's a shift in the way of looking at our life and our actions. So the kind of, we have a sort of microscope looking at how we are rather than what we want there. But more than that, we begin to act, and in the Dharma, we act more from relationship, from empathy, from seeing, from intimacy, from compassion, from being with others, the world, the animals and the plants and the friends and the people and the family, and being with, being less with me and what I need and more in the interbeing with us and everything else. And from there, actions happen. And they tend to be actions which are more harmonious, matim. So we're looking not for success, but for hatama, what fits this situation. We're not in control. Everything is happening out of our control. But my actions, you can say, with the wisdom, with awareness, with openness, with an open mind, open heart, zematim. And if people say, so, how do you know? I don't know how I know. Zematim. And it's a different way of, I think, succeeding in life. It's acting from place of freedom rather than pressure and concern and worry and measurement. And it's about how we are in each moment. And from there, we can trust our actions to be the best we can do. I call this responsibility. But in the English, it's responsibility. Yichola, yichola, lagib. Ech anachnu. Responsibility. And we'll find that that place we didn't lose anything if we were letting go of the pressure to control. We don't lose anything. We gain so much. Okay, that's all I want to say. Thank you. So we'll take a couple of minutes of quiet.